Matthew 21, verses 8 through 9, they read like this. A very large crowd spread their robes on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road as well. Then the crowds who went ahead of him, those who followed, kept shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. He who comes in the name of the Lord is the blessed one. Hosanna in the highest heaven."
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd hide me behind the cross. May it be you and you alone, the one it's seen. Father, I pray, Lord, the preparation, the presentation is honored, glorified in your name. Father, if there's one here that does not know your Son, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, I pray, Father, that they would turn their hearts and their lives over to him, Father, and surrender to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior for the hope of an eternity in heaven. Father, if there's a brother or sister here that's not lived their life in a fashion, that they've not been following you as they should, I pray, Father, that today would be the day that they draw that line in the sand, Father, and move a step forward in a closer walk with you. Father, again, hide me behind the cross. May it be you and you alone, the one it's seen. Your Son, Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Preparation. We have to be prepared for all types of things. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." As you move forward in chapter 1, you get to about verse 24, 5, 6, somewhere around there. It says, "And then we created God in our image."
Right. Yeah,
he created man in his image. Knowing, because he is an all-knowing God, that we would mess it up.
Yeah.
But he created us anyhow. He created us anyway. He prepared ahead of time how he would redeem his people. We of all people, as people who have surrendered to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, have much to be thankful for, have much to be excited about, and we have much to be prepared for.
Amen.
Because Christ is coming again. We're given that promise that there's coming a day when he's going to split the eastern skies.
Amen.
The dead in Christ will rise, and those who are alive and remain will be joined with them in the twinkling of an eye. But you'll not be with them if you're not prepared.
That's right.
Heaven's a prepared place, prepared people, and we must be prepared. Here in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, we see the triumphal entry at Passover, and there were probably about 2 million people that were present and around in Jerusalem. There are two reasons Jesus came into Jerusalem this way. You see, first of all, Jesus came into Jerusalem in this way because he was obeying the word and fulfilling the prophecy recorded in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, where it states, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming. He is the righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey." The prophecy could only apply to Jesus Christ because he's the only one that had the credentials to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, it's prophesied on many different in which he fulfilled in that he was born of the virgin birth. He was born in Bethlehem. He was called out of Egypt. Here, in fulfillment of prophecy, he's riding into Jerusalem as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
But the people were looking for an earthly king. What can you do for me right here and right now? In which he can. But they became so focused upon that point in the message, they missed the big picture of salvation, of redemption, of forgiveness, of the absolute and true meaning that Jesus came to start the process of heading towards the cross. This was the only time in his ministry that Jesus actually planned and promoted a public demonstration. You see, on every other occasion, he says, "Do not tell anyone just yet," though many did. And he tried not to make himself a public spectacle in which when the people looked at him in that fashion, he quietly excused himself from that position. Until now. When he came in, obeying the word, but secondly, It forced the Jewish leaders to act because Jesus knew that he must be crucified. Jesus knew that he must go to the cross. Jesus knew that he must pay the penalty on the cross that you and I cannot pay. We cannot do it no matter how hard we try. There's no way for us to get into heaven other than through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When the Pharisees saw the spontaneous demonstration of the people, they concluded that Jesus had to be destroyed. In fact, we read in John chapter 12, verse 19, "Then the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see, you've accomplished nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.'" They didn't like it because they wanted the world to follow after them. They wanted the world to be following after them. The people acclaimed Jesus as their king, both by their words and their deeds. They shouted, "Hosanna," which means "save us now." They were referring to Psalm 118, verses 25 through 26, which states, "Lord, save us. Lord, please grant us success. He who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed. From the house of the Lord, we bless you." Keep in mind that this Passover crowd was composed of at least three specific groups of people that I want us to kind of remember as we move forward. The Jews who lived in Jerusalem, they were there. The crowd from Galilee, they were there. In that you remember he fed the 5,000. The people who also saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. Sharing the news of this miracle undoubtedly helped to draw such a large crowd, and the things that was going through the mind of this large crowd was not "my Savior, my King, my Lord." It was, "Look at what a miracle worker he is." This is where their hearts were. However, you see very plainly that the Jews did not recognize Jesus as their king, though they were glad he was coming in. What caused Israel's spiritual blindness? Here's the answer. Their religious leaders had robbed them of God's word and gave them man-made actions to do and to accomplish. God established 613 laws. By the time man was through with it, there was almost 3,000. Quite a large difference. They wanted to have it their way. They wanted to have it their own way. They wanted to try to work for salvation, but they could not. They neglected to realize that the law was put in place so that they would recognize they had a need for a Savior. Because the Scripture shares with us, when we break one, we break them all. In which that sin separates us from God. Jesus himself made the statement in Matthew 15:8, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." This reveals an importance to us for following God's word today. This points us and shares with us that we need to be pointing people to the truth of the gospel and the forgiveness of sins that may be attained through surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is the importance of God's word. Instead of interpreting it as we wish, interpreting it as God wrote it and God spoke it. The truth shall set us free. So how do we bring people to the way of Jesus? How? How do we bring people to the way of Jesus? Number one, in your fill in the blanks, the way must be prepared. And I shared that with you up front. The way must be prepared. We like to be prepared for many different things. We prepare for spring break. We enjoy the spring break vacation to get away and do a few things on our own and to get to leave the troubles of life behind because we're ready to enjoy a little downtime, if you will. Spring break is something we plan for maybe a year in advance. With a spring break next year, I look forward to it. I'm looking forward to it.
We prepare in our minds also for company coming. If it's short notice company coming, what are we doing? We're grabbing clothes, we're grabbing garbage, and we're throwing it under the bed, we're throwing it in closets, trying to get out of the way. We're a house look as if nobody lives in it, and it's clean all the time. Now, my house is, if my wife keeps a good house. Had to score some points there, didn't I, brother? But we prepare, is what the point is. We prepare for all types of things. We also prepare in our lives for driving to work. I don't know if you've recognized or not, even in those electric cars that are hybrids, it takes a little bit of gas to get from Union Grove, Alabama, to Huntsville or Decatur or wherever you may go to at your workplace. It takes some gas. And you better give your car some care, some maintenance, or it will let you down. It may let you down anyhow. But there's one that oftentimes we neglect to prepare for that will never let you down.
Amen.
He wants you to be prepared to meet Him. And He wants for you to prepare the way for others so they may meet Him and say, yes, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because Johnny or Sarah introduced me to you. We need to be living our lives as a prepared people, knowing that there's a day coming that will give an account for who and what we have been and what we have done. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, shares with us that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Be ready, because the day is coming when Christ will return, and it'll be more than just a triumphal entry. He'll be returning for us to know that we're going to spend eternity somewhere. Hebrews 9:27 shares with us, we are designated once to live, and then the judgment. We live life here on earth, right here, right now. The choices we make determine where we spend eternity. And God's going to hold us accountable for every action, every deed, every idle word, everything spoken. So the question I must be asking myself is this: am I preparing where I will spend my eternity, and am I sharing Jesus with others? We must be prepared to meet Jesus, prepared to meet Him and to answer when He asks us, what have you done for me, Greg? He's going to personalize it. He's going to ask the question, Greg, are you prepared to face the judgment that I am calling upon you? Because you're going to give an account for every good thing and bad that you've done. And He's not going to keep it in secret. Say, Greg, it's going to be for all the world to see. That's the judgment we're going to face. That's what the Bible shares with us. And we know that there's coming a day, no matter if you surrender to Jesus or not, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So the question again we must ask ourselves, am I prepared to meet my Lord? Because He is your Lord whether you want Him to be or not. And you have to give an account if you surrender to Him as your Lord. We do all these things because we look forward to the return of our Creator, our Redeemer, our King, our Savior, our Lord. God chose us as His human agencies to share the message of the gospel with others. Because there's a world around us that needs to be prepared to know that Jesus is coming again soon. Amen. And that we have a choice on where we will spend eternity. As we get ready to celebrate Easter next week, ask yourself this question: what prevents me from being excited enough about Jesus to share Him with others? The way must be prepared. The heart must be prepared. Every heart. Number two, and you fill in the blanks, how do we bring people to the way of Jesus? Number two, the way is costly. The way is costly. We must be intentional, and it takes discipline. We see in verse 8 that they gave their robes, or yours may say their coats or cloak or articles of clothing, or whatever it says. The people were willing to give what they had to prepare the way for Jesus to enter into Jerusalem, and they considered him only a miracle worker. Why do we, as people who have surrendered to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, He has saved me from eternal destination of hell, what do I give Him today? What do I give of my life, of my heart? How do I live for Him? Jesus gave His life on the cross to make the way available for you to enter into heaven and be with God and worship Him. If we do not surrender to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we will be separated and live eternity in a place called hell. Away from eternal security, away from sorrow, tears, pain, struggle, away from our Lord and Savior. Away from the one that gave His life for you and for me. Why? Because He loves us. Because He loves us. Jesus knew what was going to happen in 1 week when He made this triumphal entry. But He went anyway. Why? Because He loved you. We too are called to follow what we looked at last week in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it reads, "Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." In other words, live for Jesus as if there's no tomorrow. Do we live that way? We'd ask ourselves, what am I sacrificing for Jesus? And don't give me the answer, I'm sacrificing sleep this morning to be here. What am I sacrificing for Jesus? What do I do on a daily basis? Not occasionally, but every day of my life. Because the Bible says to take up your cross daily and follow me. What do I sacrifice daily to live for Him? Why? Because He lives through me. Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives within me. Amen. We're called to live and follow after Him. And it's costly. It will cost you something. You have to sacrifice something. I don't know what it is, but God does, and you may know it. The question remains, are you living a life that is sacrificed for Jesus? Are you living that life? Just like these people gave their garments, we should give our possessions, our time, our talents, and be willing to give whatever is necessary to show someone, anyone, the way of salvation. See, that's what we're here for. To be a witness for Christ. And each and every day of our life, we are a witness. We're either a good one or a bad one. If you have surrendered to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you are a witness, whether you want to be or not. You're a good one or a bad one. Who are you living for? It is costly. Are you willing to give? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to lay it all on the line? Number three, how do we bring people to the way of Jesus? The way must be lived with enthusiasm. The way must be lived with enthusiasm. In the life of a Christian, we have so much to be thankful for, as I shared with you earlier. We have so much to be excited about. Ask yourself this question. Do I show it? Do I live it? Do I show a life of enthusiasm that I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and have victory in Jesus? Do I live a life in front of others, pointing them that He is the only way? He is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through Him, John 14:6. Am I so excited, have so much enthusiasm that it cannot help but to spread to others? You see, excitement spreads and breeds excitement, just like discouragement spreads and breeds discouragement. Where are we at today? It seems like the emotion of joy is often missing in our Christian society today. Yeah. However, do not give up. Because he's still on the throne.
Amen.
And he's still in control. And listen here and listen closely. I see excitement within you. We have between 25 and 30 going through a discipleship program. It's not about the program. It's about a closer walk with Jesus. It's about getting to know him more. But I see many of you serving and doing all types of things. I see excitement within our youth. I see excitement within our children. I see excitement within our adults. I see excitement within our choir. I see excitement in your fellowship with one another. Don't miss it, is what I'm saying. Don't miss it when it stands right here in front of you and God says move and we say no.
Amen.
Don't miss what God's calling you as an individual to do and us as a God's church here at Union Grove, Alabama to do, whatever that may look like. I'm not saying get the cart before the horse, but I am saying if God says jump, you ask how high. And you jump the height that he says, and you go above and beyond. Because Jesus shared with us that he's kind of, we have life, and we have it more abundantly. He's blessed us exceedingly abundantly above all that we can imagine. We are greatly blessed. We've been praying over the last probably about a year and a half now. Luke 10:2, where Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. It's white, ready for harvest. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into the harvest that the harvest may be reaped. You see, the Bible shares this, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. But he wants workers to be a part of the blessing, to be a part of the process, to be plugged in every moment, every opportunity we have the chance. And I've been praying that prayer for quite a long time as your pastor. On Wednesday nights, I know specifically we prayed it for quite some time as well. I placed it upon you in your Sunday school classes. Said Luke 10:2 for a year or so now. Keep it on our minds to pray the Lord of harvest. He'll send workers out in the harvest. And here's where I'm at. That prayer, I wondered, I searched, I sought, and I'm seeking, how are you going to answer it, Lord? And a few days ago, God revealed to me, Greg, do you see those people that called youth? That are loving God and loving each other.
Amen.
Greg, do you see those people called adults that are loving God and loving each other? Greg, do you see people excited about what's going to happen next? I don't know about you, but over this past almost 4 years as your pastor, I've become more and more more excited about looking forward to Sunday morning. Not because of me, but because of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, whom I love and adore, and I'm thankful to be a servant alongside of you through a risen Savior who lives today.
Amen.
I say all that to say this. He's not done yet because he's not returned. So that means you're not done yet because he's not returned. When we do something, we need to do it all in. Not haphazardly. Not at last moment. But give it all. Wherever you're serving, whatever position that may possibly be, from pastor to anything, give it your all. Do it with your heart. Do it with the love for Jesus Christ, because that's what he commands. That's what he instructs. He instructs us to be prepared. He instructs us, it's going to be costly. But fear not, I've overcome the world. He instructs, have a little enthusiasm. In January of this year, I don't know if you heard of them or not, this team called Alabama Crimson Tide. Celebrated like this 17th national championship. And they had a parade. Nick Saban led the team and the staff and all the people that were surrounded by the football on this parade, this march, where there were thousands of people shouting, "Glory, praise God, we won another national championship." And I'm proud for you. I am. But I say this, and I mean it, and I've said it to everyone here in the sound of my voice, no matter if you're for Alabama, Auburn, LSU, or whoever, it doesn't matter. If your excitement about a football team or a national championship team is more important than your Savior Jesus Christ, then you're missing the mark. If this world would be as excited about Jesus because they have victory in Him, there would be a lot more things happening in our world. I mean it from the bottom of my heart, that we need to have this enthusiasm, excitement about Jesus. Next week, we're going to celebrate a risen Savior. The other 51 weeks, guess what we should be celebrating? A risen Savior who loves us and wants us to love others. He wants us to become excited about who He is, what He's done, what He's accomplished for you and for everyone else. Excitement. Enthusiasm. How much excitement, enthusiasm was represented here? Verse 10, it shares with us, when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken. I'm reading that from the Holman Christian Standard, while other versions may say stirred or moved, or some say the city was in turmoil. The Greek word here was seo, which means what we have mentioned earlier, but also in reference to an earthquake, a storm of the sea. In other words, it had great anticipation and excitement. The verb here denotes a violent excitement, being moved mightily. In other words, the excitement around this. And again, remember, they're thinking about a miracle worker, not a Savior. The excitement was contagious. And I'm a firm believer of the biblical truth that if you as Christian, if I as Christian would become enthusiastic about our Savior and our Lord, that people would not help but to stop and notice. Amen. Where are we at? What life are we living? Back to the national championship. Listen, now listen to me, listen closely. See if this applies to us as Christians. The excitement that they used in this parade was a springboard to the players of trying to repeat. There's not an Alabama fan in this room that does not look forward to a repeat national championship next year, I promise you. There shouldn't be a Christian in this room that does not look forward to a repeat of somebody surrendering to Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. We should use the excitement to springboard us into sharing Jesus with others. Making a difference here in Union Grove, Alabama, and wherever God may lead us to go. Whatever workplace, whatever school place, whatever shopping center we may find ourselves in. How much more difference could we make if we had a little excitement about who Jesus is? And that, listen, I'm free. My sins were a bondage to Greg Nall and held him, and I was headed for a place called hell. But I surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and He set me free. I'm still a sinner in need of a Savior, but His name is still Jesus. And we need to live our lives with the excitement and enthusiasm. I look forward to meeting my Savior, that while I'm still here, I'm going to live my life in victory of Him. Because He is the victor. He is the one that leads us. He is the one that guides us. He is the one that gave His life for us. So, to repeat a national championship takes preparation. It is costly. And we need enthusiasm. To repeat seeing someone surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it takes preparation. It is costly. And they need to see you being enthusiastic about people knowing Jesus, about you knowing Jesus. Is your enthusiasm for Jesus contagious? The world that lives around you, are they shaken? Are they stirred up? Are they in turmoil because there's something different about my coworker, my friend, my acquaintance? There's something different. I can't help but be shaken. I want to know what it is. That's what Jesus is sharing with us in His triumphal entry. To be prepared. It will be costly. But live your life in enthusiasm. Our faith should cause us to prepare the way for Jesus, even though it is costly. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is within you." As we get ready for a song of invitation, who are you sharing hope with? Who are you sharing Jesus with? Next week, we're going to celebrate a risen Savior. 6 o'clock, we'll have our sunlight service, Blossom the Cross. I promise you, there's going to be some excitement here. But Monday through Saturday, we have no reason not to be just as excited. Because He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And He did it for you. If there's someone here who has not trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I want to share with you that you're not alone. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 5:8 says, "God proved His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 10:9-10, "And if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It's a free gift for you. Won't you come? If you're here this morning and you've been a Christian for a long time and you're kind of like Greg Nall, you've not done everything that you should have done a long life way. You've missed the mark on many different occasions. But God is speaking to you this morning. He says, "Listen." And He calls you by name because He's a personal God. Come home. Trust in Me. Rely on Me. I prepared the way for you. It cost the life of My Son. But He did not stay there. Because 3 days later, He arose in victory over death, hell, and the grave. And He wants for you, personal you, to be excited about Jesus. Be excited that you're forgiven, that you're redeemed. Won't you come? As we stand, as we sing, hymn number
475. 475.